This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Kusu Chuang and Joyce Goh. And we are turning our attentions to global markets, specifically investor sentiment lifted by a bounce in Asian shares until the latest geopolitical road bump between China and the US, which derailed this mini rally. But is sentiment weak and how fragile are Asian markets? Here to discuss this and other market developments is Jeff Howie, market strategist at Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for joining us today. Now, were you surprised by the swift reversal in appetite for Asian equities?
Good morning, Melissa and Joyce. Well, no, not really. In Singapore here, we saw our Straits Times Index spend four sessions back in mid-September, testing that 3,100 level, a key physiological level, and it's since rebounded somewhat from that, I guess, that September 3,100 level, with pretty consistent momentum up to 3,272. So that represents a price gain of around 5 to 6% since it's tested quite rigorously that 3,100 level back in mid-September. And our strongest segments in the market weren't any of the smaller or the less popular sectors. It was the big sectors. It was the industrial sector, it was the banks, and then the communication services. So, if you to look into, let's say, one of those this key strong segments, industrials, of our 10 largest capitalized industrial stocks, they averaged a total return of around 7% for the month of September. And for the first three sessions of October, those stocks have pretty much continued that momentum. And it was interesting too. There was also a little sub theme in that if you look at those 10 industrial stocks, it was the five stocks that have a long-term history of being, more volatile, or the stocks that have a propensity to swing or outswing the general market. So those high beta type of big swinging stocks, of those 10 stocks, the five with the highest propensity to swing actually averaged a 13% gain versus the five that are comparatively less volatile only averaged a 2% gain in September. So it was basically what we saw here. Some of the biggest stocks of like this sector saw a response with those stocks that have a history of being the bigger movers. And also, if you look within the industrial sector, it also ranked as our biggest sector with the highest institutional inflow back in September. So it ranked the highest when we tally up all those inflows, and I think institutional net buyers came in just above $190 million, and that was the first month that institutions were net buyers of that industrial sector since April, and the highest amount of inflow since January. So so no surprises per se. Everything kind of it was the big sectors, the big stocks, and the big funds that were behind our move here. I mean, that's the Singapore take on it.
Jeff, you forgot about me, mate. The thorn among the roses.
He's feeling quite slighted, Jeff.
I was. More broadly, though, in terms of the weaker Chinese PMI manufacturing data, more broadly for Asian markets, what's your response going into the final 3 months of the year?
We're a very outward orientated economy here in Singapore, so you know everything that happens in China has an implication to our markets here. But I mean, so far for the beginning of the month, Asia has been firmer, as we've seen, albeit maybe less activity because of the China market holidays. In terms of our island indicator, which we like to follow, which gets released at the desert island indicator per se that gets released at the beginning of every month, that is the Singapore Institute of Purchasing and Materials Management, the PMI that we have here, that dipped 0.2 points in September from August. So it's a slower expansion at 52.4. But overall, since the end of March, the index has dipped some 0.6 points from 53.0 to around, as we say, that 52.4. So it's not a huge move down. It represents marginally slower growth, but it's important to know that PMI has remained in expansion mode in the Singapore manufacturing market, and it has recorded consecutive 25 months of expansion. Slower growth, I guess, the slower growth trend of the key indicator, it has very much been in line with what we've seen in Asia and, of course, Europe as well.
Jeff, what about property prices? Because Singapore released its flash estimate for property prices earlier this week. How did it read, and, you know, was there much reaction to it in the local market?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because it was on the beginning of the week, and we have our Urban Redevelopment Authority reported its flash estimate for the private residential property market. It increased 0.7 points, so that's 0.5%, up to 149.7. So it was up basically 0.5% quarter on quarter, which compared to a growth of 3.4% quarter on quarter for the June quarter. So we saw more moderate growth, and that deceleration in the quarter on quarter growth. You have to remember it followed further cooling measures that we saw early in the quarter back on the 5th of July. So the key thing is, I guess, it did not see a significant impact in our handful of the largest capitalised property developers and managers that have the big SG Singapore revenue focus. But where we did see a little bit more of a bump or reaction was in the largest capitalised construction and engineering plays. So those stocks with a Singapore focus actually averaged 3% gains with that report. And I guess together, these construction engineering plays, they do have a history of alignment with our property cycle, with generally bigger than average swings in the property developers and managers. And even the majority of those five construction stocks, they also have a property development arm. So if you look back in 2017, the construction segment actually averaged almost 50% gains for those five stocks with the Singapore focus, and have since given back around 10% in the year to date. And that I guess outswung the property developers, which were up 36% back in 2017 and have declined some 7% when you look at dividend inclusive returns in the year thus far.
Jeff, quick one, and switching stateside, the industrials, the Dow industrials at a new record. How much is that got to do with the revamped NAFTA between the Americans, the Canadians and the Mexicans?
Look, that is important, but there are multiple fundamental factors driving the U.S. economy at the moment, and fundamental differences with the U.S. economy and the other major economies of the world. I guess top of the list is that U.S. growth is expected to accelerate this year. Oh. I think consensus expectations are around 3%, which is up from 2.3% last year. But most of the big countries across the world, they have a consensus estimate of moderation in economic growth in 2018. Versus 2017. And there are, as we said, there's plenty of drivers. The key data last night was obviously the ISM non-manufacturing index. It came in above 60, and it hasn't been above 60 since 2005, August 2005. And then we also saw the key move last night was the US 10-year notes, seeing their yields soaring to 3.18%. And those yields have pretty much been heading up since the Fed's Jackson Hole conference at the end of August, back when yields were at 2.8%. And I guess so fundamentally what's driving that as well is that consensus forward expectations for the FOMC rate by the end of next year have over the last 6 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks moved from between 2.75 to 3%, have moved to between 2.75 and 3%, whereas prior to Jackson Hole, it was between 2.5 and 2.75%. Right. And also, of course, Fed Chair Jerome Powell noted the remarkably positive outlook for the U.S. economy.
Yeah, so I guess more legs for the U.S. economy. There you go. Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing your insights this morning. That was Jeff Howie, the market strategist at Singapore Exchange. After this, we're going to come back and take a look at the Malaysian Vision Valley project in Sepang. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.